as I start to get closer and closer, everybody, to episode number 200, you got to bring back the OGs. You got to bring back the guys who helped you get there. This is 193. We're going to get there sooner than later. And like I said, too, you know, the show never stops. We got Sunday Night Football going on right now. And back for the first time in a long time, we're going to do a little bit of team therapy with him. We're going to talk a little bit of football, a little bit of everything here and there. You can see him on YouTube. And also, folks, for those of you wondering about episode number 192 with Jared Silverclight, that episode had some processing issues, so it should be up probably by the time this one's done and this one's uploaded as well. But Matt Beast is back. Matt, that too. Matt 1419. The guy's got a lot of names. He's here. He's got his Florida Lee hat on. So what's up?
Well, I got my dog here for emotional support, considering how things have gone as a Saints fan this season. It's definitely been an interesting one, to say the least. Kind of sad, kind of depressing. If I drank, I would drink, but I don't really drink anymore. So it is what it is. You just gotta take it in stride.
Yeah, I understand the whole taking in stride thing, just because, look, when there's tough losses and then there's games you could win, but then you shoot yourselves in the foot to make a win turn into a loss, like the true definition of the witching hour, it's not a fun feeling. That's just the thing. But you know what? That's why we're here. We're here to talk. We're here to get your minds right, because this was just another goofy, goofy NFL Sunday we had today.
Yeah, and it's definitely a weird season. It is a weird season. I mean, just speaking on your own division, you got the Bills in third place right now, I believe, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, the most wild division this year. Everyone thought it was going to be the AFC West. No, it's the AFC East. You've got 7-3. You've got 6-3. Jets. You got the 6-3 Bills, and you have the 5-4 New England Patriots. We're in last place right now, but you know what? We're right in the thick of things. So that's the thing. It's like the thing I've been wishing for ever since Tom Brady left, was like a lot of parity in the division and a lot of just overall, you know, excitement. But, you know, for the most part, it's pretty much open season across the league. Like, there's a few teams you can like pinpoint to and be like, yeah, I believe in them or I have faith in them. But there's a lot of teams we look at and you're just like, I don't know what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I can definitely agree with that right there.
Yeah, and then even it's just football as a whole this year is where I know we were talking a bit about before, you haven't been able to follow college as much, but even college, this could be the first time I think that neither Bama or Clemson are in the college football playoff since its inception, which is wild to think about, but probably will stop after the 12-team playoff gets introduced. But just it's a good time to be a football fan right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I mean, with Bama, I mean, they've just, you come to expect it out of Bama every year for them to just automatically be in those top four teams, one of those positions, of course. They'd be in one of those spots, but it just hasn't worked out for them this year. And, I mean, that kind of goes to show you how high of a regard we hold Nick Saban and his teams. I mean, that's just how good they've been. And seeing them lose more than one game in the regular season, it's just mind-blowing at this point. They've been so good for so long that just seeing them lose multiple games, it just seems like – I mean, it is an anomaly, but it also seems like an anomaly. But, I mean, shit happens.
It does happen. My whole thing with that is I don't think it's so much that they're losing their touch. I think it's just the rest of the conference is caught up. Like, Tennessee's now a good team. LSU is back. They're not 2019 back, but they're back. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M's a whole other story. They've just been severely disappointing. Your Hogs are—they're staying afloat. They're not an easy out. They're a team that's going to come play every single week. And then obviously Auburn, I think, will come up. And then Georgia seems to be the new power. And the only other school I really want to comment on, because I know, is just look, Vandy's Vandy, and South Carolina is just kind of there. They're not really anything. That's the SEC in a nutshell. And then Florida's kind of a wonky school.
Yeah, that's very true. But like you had mentioned, I hadn't really kept up too much with it. I kind of check in on the Razorbacks. That's about it. But yeah, it's been a interesting one as far as that goes. A lot more players in the game than it usually is.
Exactly. And the only other thing I'll say before we go back to the NFL is I feel like with the top four rankings, when Michigan loses to Ohio State, and I'm only saying that just because I feel like Ohio State's a good team this year, they're going to get knocked out and they're just going to bump two SEC teams in, because I feel like the committee, no matter what, wants two SEC teams in the playoff.
Yeah. It'll most likely happen no matter what. Like you said, I'm sure they'll figure out a way to make it happen. It'll probably end up being, of course, Georgia and probably Tennessee somehow, but we'll see how it all pans out here towards the end of the season.
I would say Oregon, but shout out to Edge the Best. His Huskies got a huge win last night, so I think that knocks Oregon out of the – they'll probably win the Pac-12, but they're not going to – they're not in the playoff. But anyway, so NFL with the Saints. Is this a one-and-done? Like, where do you guys go from – like, where do you guys go from here? But, like, if you're already looking ahead, this year's kind of like a – not a wash, but it's kind of like you're 3-7 at this point. You effectively got to run the table to win – and get in. But how do you see this team looking in the next three to five year window? Like, do you think it's full, strip it down and burn it down? Or do you think it's kind of, you know what, make some minor tweaks here and there and hope for the best?
3 to 5 year window is pretty interesting. Next season is pretty much going to be the do or die, the deciding factor. But I've seen some people comment on this, but I think this particular version of the Saints that started back in 2018 when the defense started coming back up and we didn't go 7-9 multiple years in a row. Finally, we were making the playoffs year over year for that 3-4 year window. We were the most winning team in the regular season. We won the most games, multiple 13-3 seasons. But I think that version of the Saints, I think they've kind of capped out, and going into the season, they tried to keep that continuity together. Sean Payton left. Such a testament to that guy. He got that team to 7-9 when the offense looks so much even worse than it is now. And the offense is bad now. And it was much worse off last season even. But props to him for getting that team even 7-9. But right now there's so many injuries too. You got to factor that into it. So I know Dennis Allen's going to stick around. I know some Saints fans want him gone. The reality of it is he's not going to leave unless something drastic happens. Like they lose out the rest of the season and then he loses the locker room. That's about the only way he gets fired. So he's probably going to come back for year two. I think he's kind of earned that respect with the organization to get that year two, which I mean, Gail Benson, if you look at the Pelicans, she isn't really afraid to fire people after 1 year. I can't really – like Van Gundy, I think he was gone after 1 year, but I can't really comment on the other coaches. But there's been a history of her firing people after year one, but I don't think Dennis Allen's going to be that kind of guy just from the history that he has with the organization. Might he make a change at offensive coordinator? That would probably be the go-to, because when Sean Payton was around, it was kind of a carousel there at defensive coordinator. We just go around different people. I mean, we had Greg Williams for a while, then he had his catastrophe. Had Steve Spagnuolo for a while. That worked out awful. Rob Ryan was good for a year or two and then fell off the deep end. And then we eventually went back to Dennis Allen. The defense has been pretty good ever since. But just the history there, I think he's earned getting a second shot. But if it goes south next season, and let's say we're at this point of the season and he's won 3 games, and let's say the roster stays relatively healthy, he might be out the door by then. But they might ride it out, let it go past the full 17-game slate of year two before they decide what to do with him. But he'll be on the seat to look at next season if things keep going south this season, which I think they will. But it'll definitely warm up next season.
I think it's one of those things, yeah, where he can have his job security through next year, but the next year it's one of those things where entering the season when we do our preview show, because, guys, you know, Matt's been on for the NFC show all 3 years of it. It's going to be, like, at the top of the list. Like, it's borderline Cliff Kingsbury territory right now where, you know, where it's – this has got to be the year. You got to be the year. I still think next year it's going to be him and Dan Campbell up there. I only say that because next year I think is the year you have to see the Lions finally have a spark. But With the Saints, I do agree with you. I think Pete Carmichael's not the answer. I think if they go out there, we just change the offense up. The quarterback thing's a little weird. I think, if anything, try to get a guy maybe in the later rounds and ride out with Jameis for another year, because I just think, look, the Andy Dalton thing's clearly not working out. He just makes some weird decisions. I know you guys are hurt right now, but at the same time, too, it's just like, okay, what's going on here? And then we'll see what happens with the cap situation. But at the end of the day, I think eventually someone's got to pay the bill, and that's where it might not work out in the favor of the Saints with Mickey Loomis. Then again, we could be here in 4 months, and I'm completely wrong, like we always are. I feel like everyone's like saying, how are the Saints going to do it? How are they going to do it? And then they just find a way to do it. And then next year, too, is interesting because we don't know what exactly Atlanta and Carolina are going to be. And same with Tampa. Like, we don't know if Tom's coming back. For all we know, I still think this is his swan song season. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to think about with what Tom has going on. And I know all the news outlets have been talking about it lately with Tom Brady and the Bucs' path to the Super Bowl this season, because, I mean, they play in a mega weak division this season. I mean, the Panthers are terrible. They've pretty much punted the season. They traded McCaffrey. I'm surprised they're keeping around DJ Moore. Didn't even trade him. I guess you got to keep something for people to come to the games. But the Falcons are the Falcons. They're trash. And then the Saints, they're a debacle right now. So, I mean, the Bucs, they're playing an awful division. And then the conference as a whole, it's weird. I mean, you could see a scenario where he plays like Geno Smith and Jimmy G in the playoffs. I mean, that's what everyone's been talking about, is his path to getting another Super Bowl ring. And I mean, it's out there for the taking. I mean, the Bucs, they look pretty good today. I'm going to give it to them. Their running game looked pretty good for the first time this season. They're actually able to run the rock a little bit. So, the Bucs, they might have it going on. And like you said, Tom Brady, this could be his swan song season. And as far as any more comment on the Saints, I also do want to see what Michael Thomas does next season. We don't have our first round pick, which is depressing, but that might work out because let's say Michael Thomas just can't play. He can't go anymore. We went and traded that first round pick to the Eagles. That way we could get Chris Olave, who he's been the shining spot on this season, aside from Pete Werner, who got hurt, which, man, it's just rough. But yeah, it just is what it is.
Yeah. Like I understand all that. I get all that. With the Bucs, and I'm going to go on a side note right here, the crowd today in Germany was really, really into the game. They really loved it. The it was just funny, though, and painful, because the Geno Smith, West Virginia, Take Me Home, Country Roads singing, as they're all singing it, and that's like West Virginia's victory song. So the fact that they were kind of using that against them was kind of funny. But props to the people in Munich. They put on a really good show. I think the NFL goes there yearly now. I think you get the Mexico game, which is next Monday night. You get the three games in London, and then you get the game in Munich. So you have your boat of international games. And, yeah, so I just wanted to go inside, pivot on that. But no more 9:30 a.m. kickoffs for the rest of the season. But as it goes for the Saints, I think this year's about, you know what, finish off strong, try to get, I'd say, what would you like to see at this point to be satisfied? Like somewhere in the 6-7 win range? Or would you want to try to kind of, like, where is that more ideal right now to go with, like, 6-11 or 7-10? Or would you want to try to, you know, eke out a little bit better? Maybe you guys were on the table, go 8 and go to 8-9, something like that.
Looking at the schedule we have laid out so far, we have the Rams, which we're going to lose that one. The 49ers will lose that one. The Buccaneers. Then the Falcons. We could win one of those two games. I really want to beat the Falcons because of the Falcons. And then we have the Browns. Deshaun Watson will be back by the end. Let's try and beat Deshaun Watson just to beat Deshaun Watson. On Christmas Eve. And then New Year's Day, we play the Eagles. And maybe the Eagles are resting their starters by that point. So maybe we somehow get a win. But they might be trying to play their people so that way they get a better draft pick out of us. But I think when it comes down to it, let's say the Eagles have the first seed in the NFC clinched up by then. I don't see them toying around and playing their people for a draft pick at that point. But let's say if they don't have the first seed locked up, then they'll definitely be playing for the first seed and to get a better draft pick out of us. But pretty much just what I want to see is I want to see the young players playing well. Alante Taylor's getting a lot of playing time right now with Marshawn Lattimore hurt. I want to see him continue to play well as he could be a good defensive corner for us going forward. I want to see Olave continue to build upon that. I would like it if Trevor Penning could somehow get on the field and get some snaps and get him playing so that way he could get some on-field experience. That's just kind of what I'm looking for at this point. And maybe get Jameis out there because, I mean, look, out of all those quarterbacks, none of them are going to be the option. Like you said, alluded to, maybe drafting a quarterback in the later rounds. Personally, what I would like to see is, let's say the Chargers, let's say they barely missed the playoffs somehow like they did last season, and they decide to fire their head coach. And look, Sean Payton, he's available. Trade him to the Chargers, give us their first-round pick, which would end up being like in that mid-first-round range if they just barely missed playoffs. I'd be down for that. But that's kind of what I'm looking for out of the Saints right now.
Yeah, I get that. I still feel like there's a world where Peyton ends up with the Arizona Cardinals just because I think that if the Cardinals don't make the playoffs, I think Cliff's gone. For the most part, I think it's one of those things, just, you know what, hold your breath, embrace it for what it is, enjoy the rest of the season, because I have a love-hate relationship when people say, like, oh, a Thursday night game is going to suck. Like, yeah, they have sucked, but at the same time, too, in the wintertime, we're going to be begging for those. Like, we're going to miss those. We're going to be like, we want football, but you don't have it. There is the XFL and the USFL, sure, but it's not the same thing. So with those games, that's why I kind of say shut up. I watch them and I enjoy them, even though I'm kind of being a hypocrite because this Thursday I might be missing the game if I end up going to see Black Panther. That's another story for another day. But all in all, this year with the NFL, it's just one of those things where it's been a fun season. It's been good. There's been nothing wrong with it. And then today, like, hell, like, look at games like today. You had the Green Bay-Dallas, like, insane game. You had the – I don't want to call it the game of the year just yet because, like, obviously there's still more to go. But, like, Buffalo-Minnesota put on one hell of a show. And then, like I was saying before, there's been teams that have been exciting and there's teams that have been disappointing. But from your perspective, outsider – I don't want you to say the Saints just because, like, it's a team you could say. Who are teams that you've seen this year so far that have either impressed you or disappointed you?
Well, as far as impressive going, I'd like to mention the Vikings because I did have that Vikings-Bills game on. They've definitely impressed. The past 2 weeks, the Bills have kind of unimpressed. I do kind of hold the Bills in kind of a high regard. And then, of course, granted, looking at their schedule and looking at the people they've played, but still just going out there and getting wins on wins on wins, the Eagles. I know going into the season, everyone was talking up the Eagles, including myself, I believe. And I mean, predicting someone to do good and actually seeing them put results on the field, you still have to respect that. Of course, they set themselves up to where they had a good situation going. Goes without saying, the Seahawks are definitely an impressive one. And then two other people who have not really impressed as much are the Broncos and the Raiders. Those two teams have not done good at all. And I think on our previous show, I held the Raiders pretty high because going off last season, everything they went through last season, and they still made the playoffs, and they still did so good. And then they just reloaded and got ready, and it just hasn't panned out this season so far for them. And, I mean, I saw my Saints destroy them, and I feel so down on my Saints right now that if your team lost that badly to the Saints, then I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't say the Raiders because I always said that they were going to be like an 8-9 or 9-8 team. I didn't think they'd be 2-7 at this point. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, they've been disappointing. Like, I think too, like, for them as well, they're not going to get out of that Derek Carr situation exactly easily. He's got a lot of contract. He's got a lot of dead cap. It's going to be tough sledding. I'll say Denver because Denver's that team everyone was hyping up. You know what? Like, so many primetime games, so many this and that, so much just hype around them. And what do? Nothing. You come up flat. So I say Denver's a disappointment. Mm-hmm. I also say the Rams as well. I think there's a Super Bowl hangover there that's not going to be talked about enough. Because to go from winning the Super Bowl to 3-6 is pretty inexcusable. I will say this. I don't think if Matt Stafford doesn't start for them next week, I think you guys win. I think that's a game you guys kind of find and go on. Also, do the dome advantage is something that's very, very, very still holds high regard. And as for impressed, like you said, I'm impressed by Seattle. I'm impressed by the Dallas Cowboys, actually, even though they lost today. They've been really good. The New York Giants as well. I did not picture 7-2. Like, my ceiling for the Giants this year was 7 wins. I thought this year was going to be, you know what, hey, we're going to figure it out, steal a few games we're not supposed to win, and then we'll go from there. The other New York team, I want to say I'm impressed by, but I'm still not totally sold on them because, well, for lack of a better term, they got a game coming up on Sunday in Foxborough against the Patriots. They can come into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's like all their demons are lifted because there's that long losing streak against the Pats. They haven't beat them since 2015. I don't even remember the last time they beat them in Foxborough was. So there's that. And the other team I'll say for disappointing as well is Pittsburgh, just because Pittsburgh teams are usually better than this. They're not usually like – I know they beat you guys today and they're 3-6. Mike Tomlin always has them like around 500 ball, even in the bad years of like the Ben Roethlisberger era towards the end.
Yeah, the Patriots, that game, it was kind of a snooze fest, not going to lie to you. Najee Harris, he's definitely not been as good this season. Granted, their offensive line isn't that great. This is pretty much just a season for them to see what they got in their offense with Kenny Pickett. I mean, George Pickens has definitely shown through and done some good things. But I guess next season you want to see them build on that offense, and it's probably going to be one of their worst seasons under Mike Tomlin by far. Just by seeing how things have gone. And granted, like you said, they did beat us. Their defense still plays well. Their defense did good today. Granted, it wasn't the best test against a pretty mediocre offense. But I definitely agree with you on most of those ones you said, because I feel like this season there's definitely a couple more teams that you definitely wouldn't have expected to do good. Like the Giants completely – were flat out of my mind until you mentioned them. Like that's definitely a team I wouldn't have seen being that good. And seeing their division even be pretty competitive, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like the AFC East, like even Miami, I didn't think Miami was going to be as good as they were. I thought Miami was like a 10-7 team this year. I didn't think they'd be 7-3 out the gate. But you know what? They're playing good ball, and they're beating down on the teams they should be down on. That's the thing with them. And I'll say New England too. New England football, it's like Big Ten football. It's not exactly pretty to watch, but it'll get the job done. And they've done that in out of their 5 wins. I can already name the 3 games. Like, look, there's the Pittsburgh game that was slow. There was the – I don't comment on the Detroit game for obvious reasons, because I've shown this numerous times. But like I said, I got to go there. I was there. That was a great game to be at live. And then the games against the Jets a couple weeks ago, and then this Colts game last week. But you know what? They got the job done. And to be 5-4, and from my perspective, I want you to hear how I feel. Being 5-4 and you're in the hunt at this time of the year is where you want your team to be if you're not in that elite contender status, where you're not, you know, in that Buffalo, Kansas City talk. I only say those two teams because going into the year, I don't think anyone's labeling Philadelphia or Minnesota as like true Super Bowl contenders. Those were the two teams that you saw and you said those should be the Super Bowl contenders. Now I'll say this about Buffalo. I'm still not sold on Super Bowl because, look, when you find ways to shoot yourselves in the foot late, like that bobbled snap with 57 seconds left, you got to win those games. You got to win those games. And another concerning stat I saw, since beating Kansas City, they have not scored a second-half touchdown in 3 straight games now. That is something to be very, very worried about. I know you can win close games, but you got to be able to make plays when it happens. Making plays in the first and second quarter, yeah, it'll get the job done against bad teams. Against good teams, you're not going to be able to lock it down like that. So that's why I'm saying for Buffalo. That's my other thing, too, with them. Either this is the adversity that I've always talked about. Like I've said this, I think, to you, even you, that a lot of teams who want to win the Super Bowl who do face some sort of adversity, but never to this degree where you're making mistakes to cost yourself games. This is either going to be for them just a chapter in the Super Bowl DVD, or it's just the ever unraveling of an even bigger problem that we haven't fully paid attention to yet.
Yeah, I think all in all, I think they will get it figured out. I need to pull up the rest of their – we'll see who they're playing the rest of the way.
I think they have Cleveland next week.
That'll probably end up being a get-right game for them. Then they play the Lions and they play you guys. So they have Cleveland and the Lions. So if they lose one of those games, then I will look at concerning factors there. But those two games should be get-right games before they play you guys and the Jets, because those you guys, Jets, and the Dolphins, that's going to be a huge three-game stretch in y'all's division, trying to figure out who actually wins and comes out of that division in first place. So that's going to be very interesting. So they need to get these get-right games under the belt. Looks like they're playing the Lions on Thanksgiving, I believe. Yes, they are. That'll be a good one to watch. I'm sure that'll be the that'll be the first game on. So I'll definitely be tuning into that one just to see if they can get things together.
I've said this about Thanksgiving. You'll tune into that game. You'll eat dinner during the game because for some reason dinner on Thanksgiving is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the food coma comes, and that's when you watch Dallas play New York. And then the Patriots Vikings game is for those that are when you're watching and you probably have an uncle passed out in a big chair on the side of the thing snoring. That's just what Thanksgiving stereotypes come to my mind. My thing for them is if they can beat Cleveland and Detroit, but if they make mental mistakes and they keep it close games, especially against teams like that, because like we saw what Miami did to Cleveland today, and we've seen Detroit at their very worst. If those are close games where Buffalo's winning by the skin of their teeth, then I'm going to start to get concerned. But if they go out there and they dog walk the two of them, I'm going to say, okay, they're back and fine before they come to Foxborough and lose on December 1st. I'm only saying that because it's a revenge game for us. It's a petty revenge game for the fans, and I'm sure the players have it in mind too, because that'll be the first time since last year's playoff ass-whipping that occurred.
Yeah, that is definitely a game the Patriots are going to want to get up for.
Yeah. And also, too, they'll be wearing the throwbacks once again, as I point to my throwback towel. So that's what I'm saying as well, that they're not going to come into our building and beat us on throwback night. No siree, Bob. When I look at other teams, though, like I look at Kansas City, I'm just like, I love how everyone's so concerned about, like, oh, they don't have Tyreek Hill, and everyone kind of forgot. Like, do you not remember who their quarterback is? Like, he's still a freak of nature, regardless of who he's throwing to, and he's proved that time and time again this season.
Yeah, and this is another kind of narrative with how the season is going. Granted, I know he played better today. You see how Aaron Rodgers has kind of been early this season. And, I mean, Father Time catches up to everybody.
Yeah.
But Patrick Mahomes is in that era of his career where he hasn't even honestly probably even reached his peak of what he can do. But he's still just so good, and he's at that point of his career where you can give him – whatever weapons, as long as you give him at least just one really solid guy, which he has that in Travis Kelce, he can make players. And you see the great quarterbacks do this. You've seen Tom Brady do it. You've seen Aaron Rodgers do it. You've seen Drew Brees do it. You've seen all these elite tier great quarterbacks make these these wide receivers that normally people wouldn't hold in the high regards, make them produce at a higher rate that they normally should. And that's definitely something that Patrick Mahomes can get out of it. I mean, the guy's just a freak of nature. The way he plays, the throws he can make, his athleticism, he's just on a whole nother level. And then, of course, pair that with Andy Reid. As long as he's the head coach, that's just going to be a dynamic duo there. And I'm sure he's going to stay there for as long as he can, tolerate being out there. Because, I mean, coaching into old age, I'm sure it gets annoying. Because I'm sure Nick Saban, I'm sure he's kind of feeling that this season.
Yeah, I think the same thing too with Saban, where he's starting to feel it. I also think with Saban, though, I'm still compared, because you obviously know the story about Bear Bryant, right? How he like retired and then like 3 weeks later he had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, yeah, you're only meant to coach. Like, I'm not saying the same thing's gonna happen to Saban. It's just one of those things where I'm just like, it's the Vinnie Mac effect, man. Like, they just do not want to give it up. They love doing it. The only other thing I'll say about Mahomes is just that they're my pick for the Super Bowl for a reason. It's like, you know, no one's talking about them all year long. Like tomorrow, I guarantee you, the game will headline for certain reasons, but you know, everyone's going to be on that. Oh, is Buffalo this? Is Buffalo truly a Super Bowl contender? And then they're going to come out next week and they can win by 30 against Cleveland. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, right. The Bills are the Bills, and we should not have said anything silly about them. That's what I want to get at with that one. The other big thing, too, that I want to talk to you about right now is just what's going on right now in the world of our fantasy league. That is right, folks. A little podcast league update, as Matt this week is on pace to upset Andy McNamara. First place, Dog Pound North. Matt, all you need is you need Brandon Ayuk to get you some points tonight, Dallas Goedert to have a night tomorrow, and hopeful that Austin Eckler has a relatively quiet night. As, oh, wow, Andy, that was bad. Dalton Schultz had 14 points, but he left 21 points from Cole Kmet on the bench. Yikes.
Yeah, it is kind of sketchy to play Cole Kmet. I have him in my dynasty league, but I have George Kittle as my starter. So, of course, I never play Cole Kmet. So I just want to see Cole Kmet put up some points. And he's done that 2 weeks in a row now where he's seemed to be the guy that Justin Fields, which, I mean, Justin Fields, he's been looking good lately as another thing. They still managed to lose today, which is the crazy thing. Justin Fields has been looking good, but he seems to be going to Cole Kmet in the end zone. So he's been a guy. But, yeah, as far as your league goes, team hasn't really done too well. But just trying to play upset at this point, and hopefully we can pull it off this week.
Yeah, but I look at the standings, though, and the distance between fourth place and – Bobby Gross all the way in the basement is literally 3 games. So it's literally, if someone gets hot or someone gets cold, that's going to be the big difference between getting into the playoffs and not getting in the playoffs. Because right now, it's only primed that Andy McNamara, Dog Pound North, and probably Chris Ramey, a Jonathan Taylor Thomas fangirl, are the two teams that are pretty much, I wouldn't say guaranteed, but more than likely will be in the playoffs because they're at 6-3 and 8-1. But besides that, you've got 4 teams at 5-4, and then a few teams at 3-6, which is both Lorenzo Brothers and yourself, and then Bobby at 2-7. That's the goofy thing with fantasy football, where it's like, you know, you like this year I had it. I had a stretch in the league where I was 7-0. I was on fire. I was looking good. And now I've lost a couple in a row. But this week, I'm going to check that league out right now. I think I'm starting to bounce back and play pretty okay, because right now I'm on pace to – yeah, I should win as long as Eckler, Goddard, and the Philadelphia defense don't have psycho nights, even though I did start Chris Olave, who had 5 points. But I had Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb, and Gabe Davis all in respected spots to help win. So that's the thing with fantasy football. I feel like some people can overreact to it so much. But then, what was I going to say? Just, you can't give up. You can't give up. It's like me with sports gambling. I don't give up. I had a really good day at the books today, but I'm not letting that phase me. I have to continue to get better.
Yeah, you just got to keep going at it. Keep going at it, no matter what you're doing. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for my main league that I always look at, my dynasty league, because I got a bunch of older players that are pretty good right now, and I need them to step up. I even traded for Debo Samuel. I did a swap for. I traded Garrett Wilson for Debo Samuel straight up, so hoping he continues to be good.
Yeah, that's the thing with fantasy football. Like, I've had friends send me trades before, but I gotta see if I can find some, because I know there's been But I know there's been some leagues before where there's just some goofy trades to go down, and it's just unbelievably bad how much advantage you can take of someone. I don't think I see it anywhere here, but I remember it's just like, you know, when you enter a new league and they try to finesse you because they want to test you to see like, hey, do you really buy into fantasy football, or are you a really good football fan? And then eventually you realize these guys think I'm just fucking stupid and don't want to and don't trust me. Like, I know it's a blunt thing to say, but at the same time too, a lot of people, when you enter a new league, you get that where it's kind of like, oh, hey, haha, I'm just going to do this for fun. But at the same time, too, it's just like, no, I'm actually pretty good at this. Don't send me garbage.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel you there. But because I definitely do some feelers in some of my leagues on testing on how people value like their draft picks in dynasty leagues. Some people just throw them away like candy, and I'm just sitting here stacking them up all day. And when the draft comes around, I'm sitting here drafting a bunch of players. But we reset the league lately because my draft picks were looking too crazy. So, which was sad. I kind of cried about that for a while. I lost all my draft picks that I acquired, but it is what it is. But I definitely know what you're talking about there.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it, where it's just like, you know what, you can stock up your picks and go for next season. That's why, like, I'm in one league where draft picks are involved, and I don't want to, like, go away trading all, like, my top picks. Like, I'll trade, like, a fourth or a fifth round pick, but I don't like trading in my top three round picks because it's like, you know how they always say, I love how fantasy football draft strategies go from, like, you got to play the waiver wire to win to, no, you guys got to draft well to win. But I'm like, no, you have to do a combination of both because you can get an A-plus on draft night, be predicted to go, like, 13-3, and then all of a sudden you snap your fingers and your team is 2-7, and you're looking at this like, why do I do this to myself every year? But at the same time, too, it's all for fun. It's all for shit talk. Want to switch gears here. Obviously, like we said, we're at week 10 already, which I don't like to say, but it is a thing to say. If you still had to say a team that you trust, actually, I was going to ask you like for a Super Bowl matchup, but who's a team that you think can get there that's not exactly being talked about enough?
Team that could get there that is not being talked about enough. That's a pretty good question right there. As far as the NFC goes, I really don't trust a whole bunch of these teams. I mean, people talk about the Bucs just because of Tom Brady. So, and like I was just talking about earlier, he has a pretty simple path to getting there. And I'm sure a lot of people are already talking about the Eagles enough. So I guess if I had to stick with someone, I'd probably go with the Ravens just because they're a solid team. Lamar Jackson's been looking good. I know they did have the injury to Rashad Bateman, which kind of stinks for them, but I mean, they're a good football team. And as long as Lamar Jackson's on that field, they will make strides. And I know the Bengals are kind of right on their heels right there at 5-4 themselves, which that could be another team that could be talked about in a good light because, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be coming back in a week or two or maybe a couple weeks here, and maybe they'll start hitting that stride.
Mine is playing right now, and I was on them last year, and I'm still going to be on them, and that's San Francisco. I know that they're not exactly the most pretty team out there. I know they got Christian McCaffrey recently, but like when you look at them a lot of the times, I think a lot of people think like, you know what, oh, it's just San Francisco, like Jimmy G this or Jimmy G that. But I look at it differently. I look at it in the sense of if he does just enough and plays average and that defense can carry them, they nearly did it last year, so what's stopping them from doing it again? The only other thing I'll say is I like Philly. I just don't like how everyone goes and like makes excuses for teams. Like, you know, where it's like, oh, they're 8-0, but they beat X, Y, and Z only. Like they beat teams, all these are like the negatives. It's the same thing with Minnesota, but I'm not going to say the same with Minnesota because guess what you did today? You went into Buffalo. You beat the Bills. So Minnesota is a team you got to take seriously too. I just think that Kirk Cousins in these next two games he plays are 4-25 and 8-15. You go 0-2, there's going to be some concern because not all playoff games start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth. And then I'm still going to go with the Buccaneers because I know they're 5-5. I know from experience you don't count 12 out until he's out. You do not count him out. Because the one thing I'll say is, too, and you probably know this, look at the year he won with the Buccaneers. 11-5, wild card. He was 7-5 at one point in the season, and then out of nowhere just gets hot. That's the thing. There's a difference between being hot all season long and getting hot at the right time. You start to get hot around Thanksgiving, that's when you should really be scared about a team, if they start to get hot in a couple weeks from now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about building momentum, and I know a lot of people talk about momentum as being kind of like a whatever kind of topic. But, I mean, to me, it's a real thing because, I mean, you start getting a routine. You start stacking wins. You get used to winning. And you just get in that routine of always winning and winning and winning and winning. And once you get used to it, you find ways to keep winning. And Tom Brady, of course, he's always won his entire career. So yeah, and like you said, in that 11-5 season, they definitely got hot towards the end there. Did they win pretty games? No, not really in that playoff run. I remember that Saints game was very ugly on both sides. But at the end of the day, all it matters about is just stacking the W's. And at the end of the day, that's all you need to do. And George Kittle just got a catch going down the field. So shout out to him. But yeah, I mean, that's just what you got to do. And I think the Bucs are definitely a contender for that. That's why I mentioned them earlier and mentioned how they seem to be getting better, at least with the Seattle game today. They just got to get the run game going. And as long as they can continue to have the run game going, because if they continue to be so terrible at running the ball like they have been, they're not going to go far. It's hard to get far when you have just zero running game at all. Because you definitely have to lean on that, especially with playoff football.
Oh, no, 100%. That's the thing. Like, if they can get the running game going in Tampa, their defense can sharpen up. And if 12 can be 12, what's stopping them? It's like the same thing with San Francisco. San Francisco can get healthy if Jimmy G can stay consistent. It's like the same thing with Dallas, too. I think today was just a, you know, Dallas did something stupid that cost them the game. Otherwise, they win that game. I know you're happy with the George Kittle catch. I need Chargers plus 7.5. But at the end of the day, we're here. We talk football. That's what we did today. It's just one of those things, you know, where we keep doing this. We're going to have you back on. I know, folks, there's a lot of guests who have been trying to get back on, but life and work are getting in the ways, because that's the one thing I wanted to tell you, because remember the timing when I first started doing this? It was COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was easy to book everyone because no one's doing anything. Now everyone's, you know, back to work full time, like a sense of like in the office. People have stuff they want to do. So that's where I say right now is the ultimate test is – the fact that I'm still grinding, because you have to be consistent with podcasting and posting. Mm-hmm. Now that stuff gets in the way. Now that life's getting busy. So I always try to work around doing that. I know it's a bit of a side thing. I'm going off topic, but you get what I mean, where it's just one of those things where you have to look at it from a perspective of life isn't easy and you gotta roll with the punches.
Yeah. And I mean, that can be a good analogy towards these teams getting hot towards the end of the year. And you just got to stay consistent with it and keep going through the right motions, because if you're a content creator, consistency is key. That's what any content creator coach will tell you. You always just got to stay consistent. And that's definitely something whenever I make content, I'm terrible at being consistent, because some weeks I'll have an easy week, like this coming week for work. It's going to be very easy. I don't have to drive near as much. But last week, I know we tried to get a podcast going on Tuesday.
Yep.
But I literally worked. I was at work for about 45 hours and then I drove 20 hours. So I technically worked like 65 hours last week. So I just recently got a promotion. It's been crazy. But yeah, it's all about consistency. And like I said, that's a good analogy towards football. You just got to go through the right motions. Sometimes things don't go well. Like for instance, let's say your video gets 5 views one day, and then maybe you get like the right thing in there. Let's say you get the right, to make it a football analogy, let's say you run that one play that statistically should work and it hasn't worked the past 2 times. And then you run it the next time and then boom, you get an 80-yard touchdown. And then in the content creator thing, you make the right video, right time, right second, boom, 1,000 views, or in some cases even more. So it's definitely a interesting analogy that you can make there.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about what you put out there. It's the fact that you're putting stuff out there. You're being consistent with your content, because it's like I said with this podcast. I always said, look, if it goes somewhere, go somewhere. Right now, like I like to always post this, that this podcast is a part of the Dean Blundell Podcast Family Network. And that's where we are. And there's some ad reads that are in there as well. I'm not just sponsored by them, but they're in there, like Uber and some other stuff. But it's just one of those things where, you know what, if you keep up with it, just keep knocking on the door, because eventually you're going to break the door down. And it's like a lot of these teams too. Someone's going to knock the door down and someone's going to get to the top of the mountain in about 90 days. I don't like saying that because season's coming to an end, but you know what? It's the part of the season where we are, where you got to start thinking about these things of who are the teams that are going to truly pull away from the pack.
Yep, that is true. And that's, It's the witching hour time of the year, where these wins are starting to really matter. And I know some wins can matter early on in the season, but especially now towards the end of the season, they really start mattering.
The wins at the beginning of the season, I think, only come back to bite you if you're a team that's in the hunt. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how a few weeks ago the Patriots lost that game to the Bears on Monday Night Football. If that's a game that makes us miss the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of fans are going to go back to a game like that and say, oh, if we had won that game, we could have got in. But football's a game of what ifs, and it sucks, and it is what it is. Just got to roll the punches and move on to the next week.
Yep, that is true, and that's all I can do right now as a Saints fan is I'm taking the punches more than rolling with them. But you know what? We stand up and keep going again, and there's always the sun always rises tomorrow.
Exactly. That's exactly a great way to put it. The sun always rises tomorrow. I was going to call this episode The Return of Beast, but I'm going to put it into a new point and just say the sun rises tomorrow. Because it's a great analogy, and it's a great way to end this episode. But, folks, it's been it for episode number 193 of YWC Football Talk. Matt, I'm sure we'll be back. There'll be other people back. Don't worry, guys. The guest list, it's growing and growing and growing. I got to start thinking of something to do for episode 200, but I'll have something special for you guys. It's going to hit before the end of the year as we move on to year three of YWC Football Talk, and we move on towards the season. And remember, folks, the sun will come up tomorrow. Have a good night.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.